بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him for the multitude of blessings that He endowed upon us without any obligation. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, the final and the choicest prophet, and to protect his nation from whatever this great prophet feared for his great Muslim nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam in Al-Quran, specifically in Surah Hud, verse 120, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. This ayah 20 in Surah Hud, 120 in Surah Hud, means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam of the news of the messengers that came before him. Allah relates the news of these previous messengers to Muhammad to make the heart of Muhammad strong and firm. And in this news has come to Muhammad the truth, as well as an admonition and a reminder for the believers. So the meaning of the ayah that Allah relates to Muhammad alayhi salam of the news of the previous messengers to make the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam firm and strong. And in this news, there are true news. These news are true. And there is a reminder for the believers and also an admonition. We should know, by knowing about the events that took place with the previous prophets and their followers encountering those who opposed them, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will gain strength and patience to convey the message, and the believers will be guided to do the good deeds and to prepare for the next life. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, by knowing the news of his fellow prophets who came before him, the ones who started with Adam and ended with Muhammad alayhi salam, alayhi wa la ikhwanihi wa ala ikhwanihi afdalus salam. By Muhammad knowing this news, he gains strength and he gains patience. And this enables him to convey the message. The believers, the followers of Muhammad, like ourselves, the companions of the Prophet and the Muslims over history, will be guided when they know the news of the Prophets before Muhammad, will be guided to do the good deeds and will prepare for the next life. Without a doubt, Muslims will gain profoundly from knowing the life events of their greatest and final Prophet Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa sallam. And since Muhammad alayhi salam, our Prophet, is our paragon, our excellent example to follow, it makes sense that in order to follow this example, the example of Muhammad, that we know his sayings and we know his actions. And that's why studying the prophetic seerah, the biography or life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an important matter that the companions and the following generations invested in learning and in teaching. Imam Zainul Abideen, Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu, wa an abihi wa jaddih, said, "Kunna nu'allamu maghazi an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كما نعلم السورة من القرآن كنا نعلم مغازي النبي كما نعلم السورة من القرآن." This great scholar and descendant of the Prophet, remember his Zain al-Abideen, the son of al-Husayn, who was the son of Ali, who was the husband of Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet. So he is a grandson of Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wassalam. This great man said, "We," means the Muslims, "were taught the battles of the Prophet as we were taught the chapter of the Quran." We were taught the battles of the Prophet as we were taught the chapter of the Quran. It means knowing about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is important part of the Muslim's education, Islamic education. That's why the companions and the ones who came after them, different generations, were keen to learn and to teach the events that took during the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By looking at this prophetic seerah, by looking at the life of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, Muslims learn the explanations of the Quranic verses and the circumstances of revealing those verses. It means verses of the Quran were revealed to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam during his lifetime because of certain events that took place. By learning the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, then we learn about the situations, that the events that took place when some of these verses were revealed. So you know the meanings and the events that happened around the revelation of these verses. Muslims gain more understanding of the rulings that were deduced from the statements of the Prophet. Because sometimes people just quote an ayah or quote a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without knowing the context of the revelation of this ayah or the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And because of the ignorance of the circumstances that happened or took place when such ayah or such hadith was stated, the person would not be aware of the correct meaning of this ayah or the correct meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The person may not know if this ayah or this hadith is meant for all the Muslims or just the male Muslims or just the female Muslims, or it is for Muslims and non-Muslims. The person, is it for one specific Muslim or all the Muslims? Unless the person is aware of the circumstances that are around the revelation of such verses and such hadith, the person would not be able to take, to give the right interpretation or explanation of these religious texts. So knowing the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives the Muslim a gain of the situations of the revelation, and then thereby would be able to understand those verses and those hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. The various inspirational aspects of the lives of the Prophet and his companions are revealed when you know the life of the Prophet. And these, that ones that we just mentioned, are just a few fruits of learning the prophetic seerah. Now, we have been giving our history from the beginning for a while. We have finished 35 lessons on a weekly basis of going over the beginning of the creation and then the start of humanity with Adam, and of course the start of prophethood with Adam alayhi salam. And we went over all these prophets over those 35 lessons, and we finished last week talking about Prophet Jesus, Prophet Isa, alayhi salatu wassalam, and his followers. Now, alhamdulillah, Ramadan started. Today is the first day of Ramadan. And it happens that now in that history, our history, we reach to the point where we need to talk about the Prophet who came after Prophet Isa, after Prophet Jesus, namely Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we will be going over this glorious life, this noble life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, following the book that will be printed soon called The Glorious Life of Muhammad, the Final Prophet. Now, this of course is within the efforts that the Association of Islamic Charitable Projects, the AICP, that is hosting you tonight. It is among the efforts that this organization exerts to make Islamic education available for people at different levels. We will be talking about the glorious life of the Prophet in short. We will not say details, we will be just giving glimpses about this life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, as a prelude to the life of Prophet Muhammad, we want to talk about events that are related to the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we're going to start with talking about the birth of Ismail Ishmael. The author said, may Allah have mercy on her, she said, after living for a time in Palestine, Prophet Abraham, and his wife Sarah, headed towards Egypt. So Prophet Ibrahim was born in Iraq, and his life went through different events that we talked about during our lessons. So in one stage of his life, Prophet Ibrahim with his wife Sarah, they went to Egypt. And at the time of their arrival, when they arrived in Egypt, Egypt was ruled by a tyrant, a king, a pharaoh, who had a practice, a terrible practice that he was, fond of. He did something, and Ibrahim knew about his practice. This man used to coerce, to force the beautiful married women who entered his land to commit adultery with him. It means his, goons, his assistants, his soldiers would see the people coming into Egypt. And whenever they knew of a beautiful married woman came into the land of Egypt, they would, of course, let the king know. And then the king would just take by force this woman and sleep with her against her will, her husband's will. So he committed adultery with such women. So Ibrahim alayhi salam knew of such a practice. So he wanted to avoid having his wife Sarah taken by this tyrant. So he told her something. He told her, if this tyrant knows that you are my wife, he will take you away from me by force. If he asks you, tell him that you are my sister. Tell him that you are my sister. My sister. Now, a person who is not well versed in Islamic education may think that Prophet Ibrahim was telling his wife to tell a lie. He told her, if he asks you, tell him you are my sister. And we know for sure that Sarah was Ibrahim's wife, Abraham's wife. She was not his blood sister, but Ibrahim alayhi salam, being a prophet of Allah, did not really tell her to say a lie. Because Sarah was a Muslim woman. Ibrahim was a Muslim man. And Muslims are brothers and sisters in the religion. So religiously, Sarah was his Muslim sister. So Ibrahim essentially did not tell her to lie about it. She was gonna say the truth. She was his Muslim sister, although not his blood sister. And this is important to know. Prophets of Allah, alayhimu salatu wassalam, may Allah raise their ranks, they are humans chosen by Allah to do an important job, which is to convey to people the religion of Islam. What is the creed that this religion of Islam carries? What is this Islam about? First of all, you should know that all prophets of Allah were Muslim. All prophets of Allah came with one religion called Islam. This religion, one religion, the only religion called Islam, calls people to worship the creator of everything, to worship one God, whose name in Arabic is Allah. His name in English is God, in French is Dieu, in Spanish close to Dieu, and so on. So this creator of the whole universe, whose name in Arabic is Allah, is the only God, the only creator. So when a prophet carries this message of Islam, this prophet is calling people, inviting people to worship the only God, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This God, Allah, created the earth, the heavens, the humans, the jinn, the angels, and everything that is part of this universe, whether we see it or not, whether it is above us or with us or under us. All this universe came into being because God created it. God brought it from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. And no one other than God does that. No one creates except Allah. No one brings things from non-existence into existence except Allah Azza wa Jal. We may assemble things. A carpenter may make a table by assembling the parts of the table, the legs and the surface, take the wood, polish it, etc. But the carpenter does not create tables. The parents do not create children. The mother may carry a child in her womb. The mother gets pregnant, may get pregnant by her meeting with a man. But the man and the woman who met sexually and a child resulted of this meeting, those parents are not the creators of this child. Because the creator creates things according to his will. We are the way we are now by Allah's will. Allah created us, brought us into existence in accordance with his will. Allah willed for me to be with this height, with this color of skin, with these hands, and willed for you to be with the other features that you have. So the creation come into being in accordance with the will of the Creator. The children are delivered, they are born, but they do not usually come the way the parents want them. Sometimes the way parents want males and females are born. Sometimes the parents want twins and only singles are born, or vice versa. Sometimes when the parents get the news of having twins, they worry. They wanted only one, and they worry about supporting two at the same time. Parents may want their child to be of certain height, certain weight, certain color skin, etc., skin color. But the child comes out with different eye color, may have more hair or less hair than the parents expected, may not be as healthy as the parents, you know, aspired, because the parents are not the creators of their children. They give birth to the child, but they are not the creators. The creation come in accordance with the will of the Creator. So Allah is the only one who creates, who brings things from non-existence into existence. And all the prophets who called to Islam came with this belief, that no one deserves to be worshipped except Allah. No one is the creator of anything except Allah. No one deserves that we humble ourselves to the maximum level except Allah. Because that's what the meaning of worship means. To humiliate yourself, to humble yourself, to subjugate yourself to the maximum level, and the only one who deserves that, is Allah, God, the creator of everything. And, of course, this creator is different from his creation, does not resemble his creation. There is no attribute of Allah that is similar to the attribute of the creation. We know, for example, that knowledge is one attribute of humans. And we know that I and you and she and he, we have different knowledge. I know different amount of information than you know, that she knows, that everyone else in this room knows. We have knowledge that is preceded by ignorance, because as Allah told us in Al-Quran, when one is born knowing nothing, and then the person acquires knowledge of things. However, when we say Allah has knowledge, the knowledge of Allah is different from the knowledge of His creation. The knowledge of Allah was not preceded by ignorance. Allah is eternal. His existence does not have a beginning. So Allah was not created. His existence did not have a beginning like we did. And all of His attributes are perfect, without a beginning and without an end. It means Allah eternally had His perfect attributes of power, knowledge, non-resemblance to creation, existence, existence without a beginning, existence without an end, having a will, having hearing, sight, life, and the attribute of kalam. Allah had His attributes eternally. We acquire characteristics, attributes, properties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eternally had His perfect attributes. And one of these attributes is the will and the knowledge and the power. So our knowledge is limited. Allah's knowledge is not limited. Allah knows everything, whether it is in our past, in our present, or in our future. Allah knows everything. Nothing is hidden of Him. Our knowledge is limited to certain things, and we may forget what we learned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not attributed with forgetfulness. Allah knows everything and shall know everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we may use the same words, knowledge of the creation and knowledge of the creator, but the meaning of the two terms is not the same. We have power. Allah has power. The power of Allah is different from our power. We have will. Allah is attributed with will. Our will may change. We may change our will in a moment or more, but Allah's will does not change. Whatever Allah willed eternally shall happen, and whatever Allah willed not to happen shall never happen. I may want something to happen, it may not happen. But whatever Allah willed to happen shall happen without any delay or any stoppage. No one can prevent from happening that which Allah will for it to happen. So there is no sharing in attributes between Allah and His creation. No one shares with Allah any of His attributes. Our reality is different from the reality of Allah. Allah's reality is different from ours. Ourselves are not like the self of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different from His creation. Similarly, the doings of Allah are different from our doings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life, takes life away, gives provisions to His creations, take them away. We do not do the same. So, in short, Allah, the creator of everything, is attributed with perfect attributes that have no beginning or end. They're different from the attributes of the creation. And this is what all the prophets, starting with Adam and ending with Muhammad, came to call people to believe in and practice. In addition to this, in addition to the correct belief in Allah, the Creator, each prophet came with the invitation, with the call, inviting people to believe in them. So when Prophet, for example, Moses came to his own people, he told them to say, "No one is God but Allah, and I am, believe that I, Moses or Musa, is the messenger of Allah." So they had their own shahada, just like we have our own shahada. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, Moses is the messenger of Allah. La ilaha illallah, Jesus is the messenger of Allah. La ilaha illallah, you know, Solomon or Sulaiman is the prophet of Allah. La ilaha illallah, Ayyub or Job is the prophet of Allah. La ilaha illallah, Noah is the messenger of Allah. So all of these prophets came with the same call to believe in Allah and His messengers and prophets, alayhimu salatu wassalam. Adam was the first, and then were other prophets. For example, his son Sheth or Seth, then Prophet Idris, and then Prophet Noah, and many other prophets that are, some of whom are named in the Quran, 25 of them, and some of whom were not named in Al-Quran. They may have been mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet or in the statements of the scholars of Salaf. May Allah raise their ranks. So when a person talks to you about Jesus being Christian or Moses being Jew or anything else, Abraham being a Jew, you should know that those statements are false statements. Ibrahim was before Moses and before the people though are called the children of Israel. So Abraham could not be a child of Israel if he was the grandfather of Israel. So he cannot be a Hebrew, he cannot be a Jew, as mentioned in Al-Quran. And Jesus, alayhi salam, did not come with Judaism or Christianity. He, as well as all the prophets before him, and as well as Muhammad who came after him, all of them came with the religion of Islam. Inshallah, we'll say more about this issue as we go along. So, we started by saying that Abraham went to Egypt with his wife Sarah, and to avoid the harm of this tyrant, this Pharaoh of Egypt, he told her to say that she was his sister. He didn't tell her, "Don't say you are not my wife," because this would be a lie. And prophets, alayhim salatu wassalam, do not lie. One of their characteristics, attributes, that they do not lie before and after prophethood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects all of His prophets, those men whom He chose to do this message. He protects them from certain evils, from certain sins, from certain crimes, from certain ugly acts. One of the ugly acts is lying, and prophets do not commit any lying. So, when some of these assistants of this tyrant saw Sarah, They went and told their king, their Pharaoh, "We have seen an extremely beautiful woman enter your land. So she should be yours, not anyone else's." So he told them, "Well, bring her to me." So they went and they did bring Sarah to him. When this happened, Prophet Ibrahim, her husband, Prophet Abraham, when his wife was taken from him by force, what did he do? He did not just sit and lament the loss of his wife. He did not start crying and, you know, yelling and etc. He did what righteous people usually do. They resort to prayer. They resort to doing the prayer, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever they want. In this case, for example, to protect their dear one. So Prophet Ibrahim resorted to the prayer in such a time of hardship. And when Sarah was brought into the quarters of this Pharaoh, of this king of Egypt at the time, this man could not hold himself back. He saw how beautiful she was, and he could not resist stretching his arm to touch her. So when he did that, his hand froze. He could not touch Lady Sarah, radiallahu anha. And he could not interpret the paralysis, the freezing of his hand, but to be related to Sarah, because he knew his hand was okay before he stretched it to touch this lady. When he stretched it, it froze. So he realized that this freezing is related to the attempt to touch this good lady. So he told her, "Pray to God to release my hand. Pray to God to release my hand, and I shall not harm you." So Sarah made a dua, supplicated to God. She asked God to release the hand of this tyrant, and the hand of this Pharaoh was cured. But despite his promise not to touch her, he stretched his arm again, extended his arm to touch her, and his hand froze more severely than before. Again, he said, "Pray to God to release my hand, and I promise that I will not touch you." So she again asked God to release the hand of this man, and his hand was cured. Still, he did it a third time. And now this time, his hand was even more severely paralyzed. I mean, he could feel that there is something wrong with his hand, and it is more serious than the first two times. So now, this time he said, "Make supplication to God to restore my hand, and I swear I will not attempt again." So she made the supplication, and the Pharaoh did not this time approach her. And he addressed to these people who brought her, and they said, "Take her away. You brought a devil to me and not a human." Who is the devil? He is the one. So he said that she was a devil, and he wanted his people to take her away from him. And he said, "Take her out of my land and give her Hagar." Give her Hajar, a slave of his. He had a slave woman. So he wanted to give her, even take her away from his land and give her a gift, just because his hand was restored upon her dua, and he knew he was wrong. So they give her a gift. He gave her this gift and let her go. So when Prophet Ibrahim saw his wife coming back, he ended his prayer, means he finished it as usual. And he said, "Tell me the news, what happened?" She told him, "Good news. God held back the hand of that vulgar man. God held back the hand of that vulgar man. And we came back with a servant. We came back with a slave woman, Hajar or Hagar. And this Hagar or Hajar was a beautiful and intelligent woman, as we will see later. Sarah reached the age of menopause. She was an older woman, and she had not given birth to any children from her husband Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then later, being unselfish woman, she gave this slave woman, Hajar, her slave woman, the one she got as a gift from that Pharaoh, she gave her as a gift to her husband, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, according to the rules of the religion, in the rules of Abraham, he could legally, means Islamically, religiously, lawfully, he could have sexual intercourse with her because she was his own slave now, slave woman. So Ibrahim alayhi salam did approach this slave woman, had intercourse with her, and as a result, she became pregnant and later gave birth to a boy called Ismail or Ishmael. And the scholars mentioned that the word Ismail or Ishmael meant the one who is obedient to Allah. The one who is obedient to Allah. Now, there are some people who speak foul of Ismail, of Ishmael. They call him the bastard son. And of course, bastard means illegal child. Of course, Ismail came as a result of a legal relationship between Ibrahim and the mother of Ismail, Lady Hajar. She was the slave woman of Ibrahim. He was religiously allowed, permitted to have that sexual intercourse. So Ismail, alayhi salam, this child, was not a bastard. He was a legal child. Such a term is a foul term that does not befit such a child who would become later a prophet of God, just like his father was. Now, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam one time was addressing his companions. He said the following. He said, when they were in Arabia, he said, when you conquer Egypt, then pay good attention to and treat its people well. Pay attention to the people of Egypt and treat them well, because they have a blood tie to me. Because they have a blood tie to me. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was urging his companions, the Muslims, that when they conquered Egypt, means when this event took place in the future, and this of course was what? A miracle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Muslims were still within the borders of Arabia, and the Prophet alayhi salam told of conquering Egypt, the Muslims going beyond Arabia and ruling Egypt. So he said, when this happens, make sure that you treat well the people of Egypt, because there is a blood tie between me and them. And how was Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam related to the people of Egypt? It's because from this woman Hajar, Ismail came, this son. And then this son Ismail, from him came the Arabs, from whom Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came. So as a result, Ismail or Ishmael is a grandfather of Prophet Muhammad. And this Ismail, his mother was from Egypt, Hajar. So there is a blood relation between Prophet Muhammad and the people of Egypt through Hajar. Of course, Prophet Muhammad was not related to everyone in Egypt. He was related to the people of Egypt through Hajar. So because of this one person, Hajar, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ordered that the whole people of Egypt, when the Muslims conquered them, be treated nicely. Now, Prophet Ibrahim took his wife from Egypt, out of Egypt, and went back to Palestine. And he went to a land called Beer Sheva, or Bi'r al-Sab'a. And then he went to an area between an area called Ar-Ramla and Ilya. There are two cities in Palestine. One is called Ramla and another called Jerusalem. So Prophet Ibrahim went to Bir al-Sab'a, and then he went to an area between these two cities, Ramla and Jerusalem. Now, remember, Sarah gave this slave woman to Ibrahim as a gift, and she was barren. She did not carry any children. And now this slave woman gives a child, birth to a child, a son, to Ibrahim. So scholars mentioned that there was some type of jealousy from the between Sarah and Hajar. It means Sarah felt jealous of the fact that Hajar gave birth to Ismail or Ishmael. But Sarah was a pious woman, so she did not conspire to harm Hajar. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam that this woman would be separated, and then that he, Ibrahim, should take his slave woman Hajar and their son Ishmael out of that area and go to the area that would be known later as Mecca in the Arabian Peninsula. Barakallahu feekum. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Barakallahu fikum.